Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, hey!
What are you doing?
I'm Paddy Power.
I get that, but why are you wearing nothing but a pair of green underpants with your own name on the waistband?
That's what I do. It gets people's attention.
This is a radio ad. I'm the only one who can see you.
Oh, well, this is awkward.
You could at least have waxed.
Sign up to Paddy Power today at paddypower.com/ramble and get a free 20 quid bet once you bet a tenner. And I might even keep my clothes on. But look how flattering it is when I jump up and down. Ole, 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 ole.
Please stop.
Well, the BBC won't let me be, or let me be me on your TV. That's why I'm with the Football Ramble. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the thing I just said. My name is Marcus, and I've got Pete with me.
Yeah, you have, but not for very much longer, because I'm out of here.
Oh, how you doing, though, Pete? You keeping well?
All right.
Marvellous. Luke. There.
I'm all right, yeah. How you doing?
Luke's
right,
here.
Yeah.
Jim's here.
Hello.
Woohoo!
Still getting used to the new order of chairs.
Yeah, that's right. Pete's to my left now. But Luke is opposite me, and then Jim's to my right. Hang on a minute.
Luke isn't opposite you.
I used to be.
Well, it just...
It's not important for an audio show.
Yeah,
now,
I like to think it's a kind of a round table situation, Jim, for the listeners to feast their ideas on. Now, Roberto Martinez said about Ross Barkley after his performance against Chelsea, the more you watch him, the more you fall in love with him.
Ooh. I quite like that.
Well, actually, no, it's more you fall in love. I added the extra bit. So what has or does make you fall in love with football even more, Pete?
Well, I think we all know what I'm going to say here. Steve Harper's testimonial.
At one point, fabulous. Tino Asprilla attempted an overhead kick which Franco Baresi blocked. Is there a better way to spend a night than that?
Even Paul Kitson played well.
And that wraps up football.
I was like, yeah, good antidote to the start of the season for me.
Yeah,
it is worth it. 2013, Steve Harper's testimonial.
Did he get on?
It's against
him. Did he get on?
They lost on penalties, didn't they?
They did lose on penalties. It's because it's thanks to Steve Harper. He missed a penalty. Even his son managed to score a penalty.
Was it off target?
It was on target, but the keeper was going to let it in anyway, but he just blasted it right at him and he couldn't get it.
The thing
business.
Is, the referee
offered him a respot and he said no.
Oh, the honesty of the man. Yeah. It's his day and he's like, no, I still come to
honesty or lack of ambition.
Yeah.
a term that's blighted that man's career for 20 years.
As he said, though, I mean, he was due to do a course in... He wanted to be a PE teacher.
Right.
Or something like that. And then, of course...
If that is an ambition, I don't know what is.
Oh, come on. And so... A
professional footballer aspiring to be a PE teacher?
No, he was going to be a PE
right,
teacher.
Say,
and then the whole
backwards.
Football thing came up, Jim.
Annoying.
And so...
Because that's not a short career if you're not into it.
You get Saturdays off.
Yeah.
Long 6 weeks in the holiday, yeah.
I mean, on paper, the testimonial result is a poor one for Harper's men, but, I mean, just see the team they were playing.
It was ridiculous.
Milan All-Stars.
The point I'm making is, that, as Harper said, he didn't want to play for anybody else. He played, over 200 games for Newcastle. He played an FA Cup final for him. We're crying out loud.
It was a lovely evening, his testimonial. 50-odd thousand.
Yeah. Like the idea that Steve Harper said he doesn't want to play for anyone else, but he is actually literally playing for Hull at the moment.
Yeah, but
so they'll be pleased to hear that.
Well, he just doesn't want to play.
Yeah,
it didn't take the Cockney Mafia long, did it?
You see Les Fernand's shirt, he had the number 9, but then in little letters it had number 10 on it.
Did it?
Because obviously he had to give up the number for Alan Shearer. And they put Gary Speed's 2 kids on, which is really nice.
Very nice. And Rob Lee turned up with his boots and a plastic Sainsbury's bag.
Yeah, I think Harper was picking up Rob Lee from his house and he turned up with his...
I love the idea of that. I'll pick you up. 50,000 people there.
Paolo Di Canio roundly booed every time he
got shot by Joey Barton.
He did. He'll do that.
Yeah. Barton said it beforehand, apparently. Yeah.
Does Paolo Di Canio go anywhere and not get booed at the moment?
He get booed by his own place.
Yeah.
So many political parties in Italy when he goes to...
Look
at me being controversial and zany.
Bit early for politics.
Is it, though? Never too early to call your politician. Luke, what's your answer?
So that's your answer, is it?
Yes.
That makes you fall in love with football again. Steve Harper's testimonial.
It's a very good answer.
Damn right.
Not going to come along again, is it?
Might do.
You never know, actually.
Well, no, but what's happened or does happen.
Might be a great manager.
Yeah.
A great PTP teacher.
He might be at Hull for 10 years.
Yeah.
Could do, yeah. Could be. How old is he now? About late 30s? Must be late 30s.
Yeah.
My answer is actually going to be non-league football.
Right.
And I don't mean that in a patronising way. What I mean it is that when I go and watch my local non-league team, Gosport Borough, doing very well at the moment. Actually, they're not doing very well this season, but they're doing well to get to the level they're at.
Yeah.
It actually reminds you of what football is. Because when we're in London and we go to games, and sometimes we'll go to the Emirates or whatever, or you'll go to Wembley and all these other things, it's actually quite far removed from football in its initial conception.
It's about as noisy as Sunday League Emirates.
It's quite far removed from what you can make your body do with a football.
Thank you very much, Jim. Correct, though. Absolutely correct. No, you're absolutely right.
All of us there.
Yeah, and so it
I don't know that's
really,
what he's making.
I love going to watch Gosport Borough and seeing that when the players come off for half time or whatever, sometimes one of them will stop and have a chat to a guy who's come to watch, just one of his pals, you know what I mean? Mm. That sort of stuff that goes on, it makes you realise that football is for everyone, and so for me, that makes me rekindle my passionate and lifelong love affair with the beautiful game. Thank you very much, goodbye.
I think someone needs to watch a bit more Scottish Premiership.
maybe. Well, Pompey will be down in a bit, so it doesn't matter.
Well, they'll be up there, will they?
Yeah, yeah.
Change leagues. Jim?
I think there's something magical about seeing a player shine on their debut.
Yes, good answer.
There is, because obviously Ozil had a very good game at the weekend, and of course, Gareth Bale scored on his debut as well. And it's this time of the season where, you know, players are making their debuts. It's still, it's not quite proper winter yet. There's a sense of hope and anticipation, and you just, you know, if they do well on the debut, it just makes you think, oh my god, this could happen for years.
And seeing
them
in a new shirt
good for ages. Yeah,
it doesn't look right to start with. It looks
no,
a bit odd.
It doesn't. Yeah. But it's like a sort of exciting odd.
Fellaini in a Man U shirt. Like,
it
oh,
looks weird,
what?
Doesn't
that
it?
That was very odd. It was odder than I think I've ever seen a player in a different shirt.
Not as annoying as it would have been for Tom Cleverley to look at.
No, of course. Yeah.
It was a little bit like Ultimate Team on FIFA, where you go online. It's like, hang on, wait a minute, he's got different players to what he usually used to.
Yeah.
That's not allowed.
No.
I suppose for me, it was the Confederations Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lovely old time. Pete's got the points.
Yeah, he has.
Come on.
All right, fine.
Yours was an excellent answer, Luke.
I think Jim's was very passionate.
Two words, Darren Peacock.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's no complaints here.
No further questions.
Whereas I'm afraid, Jim, when you talk about players scoring on their debut is rekindles your love for football. Well, Robinho scored on his debut for Manchester City.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you that
my answer was longer than a sentence.
I'm explaining my decision.
Did you score?
And it's something that we would like to see referees do more often.
Did you score on your debut for Leatherhead Reserves?
I never scored for Leatherhead Reserves because they played me out of position.
Okay.
The Jamie Carragher syndrome.
Their loss is the Rambles game.
All those years ago. The Premier League happened on the weekend. Manchester United beat Crystal Palace 2-0. Ashley Young dived and then a contentious penalty was awarded. It was a sending off. Wayne Rooney had a headband. Would any of you like to discuss any of that?
I was watching Burnley Blackburn.
We are talking about that in the Championship.
Okay. But so you guys feel free to crack on. I did actually see it afterwards.
Ashley Young did that thing, which he not only did he dive,
he left his leg in, didn't he?
He fouled the player because he does that thing where he flies forward. We've seen Ashley Young do it before and other professional players. I think Pires did it a couple of times in his career.
It was very accomplished. I thought it was very accomplished. I would have seen those given. At first glance, I was like, Jesus, God, yeah, that was
a penalty. But do you not think, Pete, if you were a referee in the Premier League with that sort of pace of football, do you not think you'd end up giving about six penalties a game?
I think Pete would,
Just have a bit of a giggle.
Yeah. Pete has a lot of faith in humanity. Wouldn't believe anyone would try and
have a go at this one.
God, blimey. Steve Harper says he must put you in love with everything. Yeah.
It was a good dive, to be fair to
you. No, him. I don't think it was. Because when Ashley Young, he dives, both his legs, it's almost like he's going to do the splits. Mm. That's how you can easily
He also
tell.
Does this thing as well. When he's leant over far enough and he's decided, yeah, this is it, I'm going down, it's like he freezes.
Yeah,
he does. Like, just completely stops and just waits to just like careen into
like
the ground.
Like in a shoot-em-up game from the 90s where the sprite would just freeze and it would just come towards you on the screen.
Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah. And so
Ashley Young then, he won a penalty after that, which wasn't a penalty.
Well, I didn't...
But did you think that was a foul, though?
No, I didn't think it was a foul. I thought it was just... I didn't think he dived particularly for the one that was given as a penalty. I just thought it was a little bit of hustle and bustle, and I did not think it was a foul, let alone, or was it outside or inside the box? I didn't think it was
a
foul.
So you'd have just got play on then?
I would have played on, and therefore the sending off was extremely harsh. I thought, when he dived, the point I was going to make was that as he flicks his leg out, he actually, if it is a dive, you turn it around, he's kicked the other player. So you could have
yellow.
Him on that.
It's a yellow.
It's a yellow for diving. Could you yellow for...
Imagine the ref did that. Two yellows.
I tell you what, and the referee would be within his rights. You watch that again, technically speaking, he's kicked the other man. Yeah. So he could have been sent off for that if you really wanted to.
He lashed out.
Get all feisty.
If anything.
I think there needs to be a new rule when it comes to players being booked for diving, which is if that happens, the referee should write a little score on the card as they hold it up. Yeah. I think the sort of humiliation of that would stop people doing it.
Well, I'll tell you what's... it's raised a debate of something that we touched on a while back when we were talking about bringing video things and goal line technology into football. Which
is why they did it, wasn't it?
Yeah. We're obviously always at the vanguard of these developments. But no, what I was going to say was I was nervous that it would mean there would be more video refereeing and more different technology for other decisions. And now we've seen David Moyes again saying there should be retrospective punishment. Mm. And we also saw in the light of the Berbatov thing where I think Fulham had three disallowed goals at the weekend, two for offside. One was definitely offside, one probably wasn't. I can't remember the other one. Now people are starting to talk in general discussion about using technology for other things. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen imminently, but obviously this is the thin end of the wedge. This is when it starts, when you start talking about these things. And to go back to my answer to the opening question about what football is all about, football was never designed to be about that initially. So it's a bit of a worrying development, I think. And I think that with the diving thing with Ashley Young, the example we're using at the moment, Ashley Young always on the... I mean, I don't think he's that good a player anyway, to be honest, but when he's on the pitch, you often see him moaning about refereeing decisions quite a lot.
He's a moaner.
If you're going to try and hoodwink the referee and try and make it harder for him while doing it, don't moan about it, because you're not going to get decisions if you make it harder for the referee every time.
But that's probably partly one of the reasons why the referee knew he was diving, because it was him.
Yeah.
That's you know, players...
We saw the same with Gareth Bale, didn't we, a while back?
Exactly.
It kept happening to Gareth Bale.
People get a reputation. To be fair to say Cristiano Ronaldo, he started to get a little bit of a reputation. And then I think when he was playing for Manchester United, there was one where it was a penalty and he should have got it. But probably his reputation went ahead of him and he's begun to kind of sort that out, okay, in Spain.
Well, we've talked about that before as well. It's actually, if you do it too much, we proved by discussing it at quite a good length on this show before that it actually starts to become counterproductive.
Yeah,
you'll start to get decisions against you when you shouldn't do.
And your teammates will get annoyed, and if you're already on a booking, you're walking a thin line.
Indeed, and Ashley Young needs to be careful for two reasons. One is because his manager, David Moyes, is on the record consistently for years and years about hating diving.
And Moyes has said that.
And he has, and fair play to him. But the second point is that Ashley Young isn't even in the team. You know, if he's going to start doing things like that, it's all very well. You bring up Cristiano Ronaldo, it's all very well for you to bring up him because he's one of the world's best footballers and he was always the first name on the team sheet at United. So, in a way, it's almost like, oh, yeah, well, you take along with it. You get the bad things with the good things. Ashley Young's not even in the team.
Yeah.
As well, for your manager, for your teammates, even for yourself, is it that satisfying to sort of cheat a goal like that? Is it not like Googling the answers to a pub quiz? You know, it's not what you're there for, is it?
I was listening to the BBC the other day and Ian Wright made quite an interesting point about it. He said that it very much depends on the attitude and the environment in the training in at the club itself.
Yeah, of course
he said,
does.
He said in certain clubs, he said the reason, he said he didn't dive at Arsenal when he played there because he didn't sort of, this really wasn't his thing. He said he wouldn't do it.
But he said he did it in training for laughs.
Yeah,
I was listening to the same broadcast.
But he also intimated, didn't
he? Kelly Kitch trying to rein him in.
But did he not also...
That poor woman.
Did he not also intimate that he wouldn't really have got away with it in training with people at Adams and Boulder around and stuff?
Of course not. They kicked him 10
because they were pissed. They wouldn't have noticed. Why is Wright on the floor? Can I be on the floor too? I'm drunk.
I would like to personally distance myself from that.
I think for me, yeah. I think the story is not even the diving. I enjoyed the way Crystal Palace attempted to stifle Manchester United and go for the throat. They visited Manchester United. Too many Correct. Teams visit Old Trafford and shut up shop. And I thought they really went for it. And I think that's the way to play against Manchester United at home.
I'm so glad you said that, because on Match of the Day, they were chatting away about Manchester United and Crystal Palace. And she started laying into Crystal Palace, going, "Look at them here, trying to play their way out. Sometimes get it out of there."
Yeah.
And he kept. Now I understand.
Did
the
you see Ukraine England?
But I understand. Okay.
Put it in the mixer. Who do you sound like, Alan?
It's difficult. You're on live television. You've got 60 seconds to sum up something. So
you're Alan Shearer.
You're getting paid an awful lot of money.
Yeah, you're Alan Shearer, so 60 seconds is ages. There's a lot of time to fill with what you think.
And, you know, without being bitchy about pundits and all the rest of it, but I take his point that maybe once or twice they could have cleared their lines, but you're absolutely right. Not enough was made of that Palace performance. They were down to 10 men for the most of it, and they were beaten by a penalty, which shouldn't have been given, and a free kick, an excellent Wayne Rooney free kick. And they went to Old Trafford, the first time in a while up in the Premier League. I thought they were brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and they did not get the praise that they should have done.
Do you think the keeper could have done a little bit better with the free kick?
Yeah, it wasn't the whippiest of free kicks.
Speroni, his hand was a little bit weak, perhaps.
On the mention of Wayne Rooney, just before I forget...
But it's very encouraging for Palace fans, that performance.
Shout out to Toro Hernandez on Twitter, who made the excellent point that Wayne Rooney in his headband looks a lot like Joe Pesci in Home Alone after he gets his head burned by the blowtorch.
I was going to go... Yeah, I don't know whether you guys are familiar with the Oculus Rift headset. It's like, you know that 3D goggles I bought from that New York... New York vending machine. Like that, but like posh and more expensive. They're a new thing.
I've never seen them.
Anybody familiar with Google glasses? They look like he's worn them backwards.
Okay, right.
It looks like something out of Babylon 5.
Or Universal Soldier, I was going to say, something like that, yeah.
Or Babylon Zoo.
Yeah.
Not Babylon Zoo.
Oh, spaceman. right. Well done, Palace. And Ashley Young,
feet. You're right about the Palace thing, because we talked about them before, saying it's difficult, it's important
for
them...
They were passing the ball from the back at Old Trafford.
And if that's the sort of side they're going to be, they're going to lose a lot of away games. But if that's the side they want to be, then, yeah,
but that's the sort of side we want to see in the Premier League.
Cool. Exactly the trade-off that Ian Holloway made with Blackpool, isn't it? We can expect that from Lolloway.
Mm. Well, I look forward to seeing more of Palace. Well done. Mm. Well bloody done. Everton beat Chelsea 1-0. Everton's first win of the season.
They haven't lost yet, though, have they?
Mm. No, it's only them and their friendly neighbours, Liverpool, at the time of recording.
Yeah, because they're playing Swansea tonight,
Who remain unbeaten in the league. Naismith scored. Samueletu started.
Naismith is 27 years old.
Really? He looks a bit old.
Paper around him, Baghdad. He looks about 50.
Yeah, he's having a good time though, and he got the winner. Samueletu couldn't quite score. How good was Gareth?
I was about to say, I'll tell you, was good in that game. Barry,
flipping heck!
Yeah, let's talk about needing a move. That's what he's going to be like every week. Yeah.
Back in the England side.
What a sight! Wow, come on!
Never forget
World Cup 2010 against Germany when he should have brought Ozil down.
True, but nowadays in the England side, the ball just go over his head. So it's just, doesn't matter who you have in there,
before
really.
Before that tournament, he was shouting out for Gareth Barry, and then that happened.
It was, yeah. I know what you mean about bypassing the midfield, but what I'm thinking, mate, re-England is...
Yeah.
Getting caught on the break in a horrific way. Who can make up the ground quick enough? That's how England midfielders should be selected.
In which case, we should have Theo Walcott in the holding midfield role, surely.
I'd like to retract that previous point.
But Samueletu looked a little bit rusty.
He will do.
I don't think he had the worst...
If he just scored, I think it would be a very different story. I don't think he had the worst...
That's the main part of being a striker,
isn't it? I think we'll hope and expect Samueletu to get back to somewhere... fairly near his best.
Mm. Comes down to how hungry he is, really. I mean, he's not going to have been the most motivated when he was over in Russia. So, he's obviously come to the Premier League for the right reasons. He doesn't need the money. He's come over to win.
£230,000
something ridiculous.
He's taken a cut, though, hasn't he, for this?
Oh, he would have done.
You'd hope so.
He's obviously come to the Premier League to win things. So he clearly is hungry. He's only 32 as well.
And he respects Mourinho a lot and enjoyed playing under him at Inter.
So. Yeah, he'll have a lot to prove here as well. Especially at Chelsea, given the battles that the Barcelona side he was a huge part of were in.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something, though. It shows Mourinho's intentions there. I mean, there he is putting him straight in over one or two other strikers that he's got at his disposal. So I think we'll see a bit more of it.
Yeah.
I think he'll score quite a few goals.
Well, I think Mourinho's still got to work out what his best side is, isn't he?
Definitely. I mean, you've got Torres there. Torres are going to be annoyed, but I mean, that's... Fair enough, he should score more goals then, shouldn't he? But Eto, it's great to finally see Eto in the Premier
League. Yeah, it is.
Because he's a sort of player that, I don't know if you guys agree, that seemed to have sort of flirt with the idea of the Premier League for quite a long time and never really did it.
Like Zlatan.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. So it'd be good to see if it happen.
It looked like it would never happen. It's great.
And obviously we mentioned Ross Barkley played well again.
Incredible hairline, that lad.
But Ross Barkley,
very straight, very straight. I don't know where he gets his hair cut.
Stephen Gerrard's got a very straight hairline. Just chucking him into the ring. Maybe it's a scouse thing.
Well, Ross Barkley also looks really tired towards the end of the game. He should have been taken off. He looks so tired. Although he may have been taken off, I can't remember. But at one point towards the end of the game, he looked absolutely
Martinez
knackered.
Looking at him with those loving eyes.
Yeah, no, I'll leave me out here. It's the best place for me. I'm safe here.
But yeah, great win for Everton. Fulham drew 1-1 West Brom. Fulham should have probably sealed the game as a number of disallowed goals, but some good chances as well. But West Brom got their first goal of the season. Might I say, what a contrast to the previous season. Obviously, they started magnificently well last year, but they're only a point off the bottom.
I don't think they spent any time outside the top 10 last season, did they? That was some sort of crazy trivia.
You could be right there.
Yeah, I think that if any game was going to sum up a Martin Yole team, that game. I mean, they went a goal ahead, obviously, nice goal from Sidwell and from a corner or whatever. Then going forward, they look very good. But it's difficult to know at this stage of the season how bad West Brom are at the back. But there's so many goals disallowed. Then Ruiz hit the crossbar, and then last minute of injury time, they just get sucker punched. Martin Yole doesn't care either.
Well,
he said he cares, but he doesn't actually care.
Well, he's just having a lovely time.
Exactly.
Pointed out last season.
Well, I'm not sure, actually. I mean, Fulham will need to win games like that in order to avoid the same risk of relegation that they had last season. But a few of the Fulham faithful, were getting a little booey towards Martin Yole. And Yole responded by saying, "I can't tell them to come outside of the stadium after the game, so I have to put up with it." Big talk from the big man. But sometimes you make mistakes in life. I remember last year, I think it was the same geezer, and I did something, but luckily enough, nobody saw it.
Wow.
Firstly,
terrifying.
I love the thought of Martin Yole using the word geezer.
Yeah. Geezer. This geezer.
I think it was the same geezer.
Magnificent.
Punched him into a canal.
That was the River Thames, man.
I was walking along the river.
He's now inside the statue of Michael Jackson.
Frightening.
That's just another part of him. Oh, hey, come
very
on.
Very good.
Come on. So, yes.
Martin Yole wants to start sticking it into anyone. He should start with the man in the mirror.
Yeah. It's because he's bad. That was too easy. It's too easy. It had to.
That would have been a crime to not do that one.
Yeah. There's so many, I have to move on. Stoke City drew nothing with Manchester City. City haven't had the best starts. Still got 7 points, though. But Stoke are also on 7 points. Mark Hughes. The Mark Hughes revolution.
Honestly, Parlance and Mark Hughes doing quite well. I don't like it. Just don't like
and
it.
And Steve Bruce picked up another point.
Yeah.
That sort of
rubbish managers of Manchester United. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Hughes, though, he's gone in there, he's done a good job. I mean,
we'll see. It's early days yet.
Can't you just admit he's had a good start?
He has had a good start.
A good point against City.
He's had a very mediocre track record up to now. So, you know, it's a bit early to be saying.
No, he was decent at Blackburn. He had a good season.
He was decent at
Blackburn. I forget. Does he always start well or does he end well? I always forget.
I just get distracted by the handshake.
He can't end well, can he?
I liked it when he had a pop at Man City after. He couldn't resist it, could he?
No, he can't.
Did he say something like, he was asked after the game about
he gave
City.
Pellegrini some advice.
Yeah, didn't he say, oh, well, obviously their team selection didn't work for them and Pellegrini's got to think about that. Yeah. All right, Mark, you got bombed out the job, mate.
Yeah,
wind it in.
Yeah. Manager and pundit at the same time. Make your mind up,
Mark.
It's like at the weekend when Oscar De La Hoya said that he provided the blueprint to beat Floyd Mayweather and never actually beat him. Some blueprint that is, pal. It's all wrong.
Yeah, it's never actually worked for anyone either. Yeah.
It's like when past a busker. I provided the blueprint for Wonderwall. Nice one, mate. But where else do we go in the Premier League?
I mean, it wasn't really a vintage Mark weekend Hughes, in the Premier League, was it? No. To be honest, it was
Super Sunday.
Yeah, Super Sunday was a fucking dirge. Arsenal Sunderland, Sunderland Arsenal was a particular
Sunday.
Bright spot.
Sour Sunday,
Sour Sunday.
That would be more
just Sunday.
That's
all
it
ever is.
Our Sunday's getting less super.
Sky Sports present Sunday. It's after Saturday.
What are you doing before Monday? All right, Jim. Sunderland 1, Arsenal 3. Ozil assisting straight away.
Lovely. It was about 11 minutes, wasn't it?
Something it was.
Like an assist. It's just lovely stuff. He really, really looked at home and he had flu or something like that. I can't wait to see him really flying. It's a shame Santi Cazorla's going to miss a little bit of time. Seeing those two together would be...
Don't worry,
lush.
Mate. You've got Ozil to cover for him.
Yeah. No, but seeing them together is going to be magnificent.
Well, you've got that to look forward to.
Yeah. I know.
know.
Yeah.
I'm literally saying that.
You're top of the league at the time of recording.
Yeah, I'm going to relish that.
I don't want ever see Ozil down. I don't want to see him cry because he'd cry on each shoulder because his eyes are so far apart.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what is going to make him cry. Theo Walcott missing more of those chances.
Yeah.
How many chances? I'd love to see a stat at the end of the season. How many chances Ozil puts on for Walcott and how many he misses?
Yeah, that'd be an interesting one.
Why did you put him in your fantasy team?
Who?
You.
Who?
Walcott.
I didn't.
Did you not?
No, he's not in there.
Oh, I thought you said you
he's
did.
Nowhere near.
No, he's in my one.
No, he's nowhere near.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Well, that's backfired, isn't it?
Yeah. But Ozil's, even with a stomach upset or whatever, Sunderland are dreadful, but it's far too easy for him. It's too easy for him. He's going to be such a revelation.
What do you say Sunderland dreadful?
Well, they were really unlucky with that ridiculous decision.
Giroud scored. It's
he's slightly injured as well, but he should be back for Marseille on Wednesday.
Yeah, but what about the tussle between Altidore and Sagna? Altidore was real strength there.
Yeah.
And then he scored, but the referee had already blown for the foul on the big Sutherland forward. But what was strange was Sagna
play the advantage.
Fair enough. He's already blown. I mean, they were chastising the referee, but just blown up a little bit too quickly. Why was Sagna not sent off then?
It was obviously a goal scorer opportunity because he fucking scored.
Yeah, that was the point.
Can't be any more of a goal scorer opportunity than that.
But was he going towards the goal, though? Isn't that the big
thing? He scored the piece. That's what a goal scorer opportunity
is. I mean, it was at a bit of an angle, but it was still a one-on-one.
Altidore is well within his rights to go up to the referee and say, why haven't you sent him off? What's he going to say? Not a goal scorer. I've stuck it in the net.
But it wasn't in the net, but I take your point. It was over the line.
Yeah,
they all count.
Yeah,
they all count, literally.
Great performance from Aaron Ramsey again.
Superb.
It's his fifth goal of the season.
He's looking really good.
Yeah, he's looking great. Lovely volley. Well.
I mean, his
great
age,
to see him doing so well, having had setbacks in the past.
Absolutely,
Jim. Conversion.
And his age, the things he's got in his locker, and with those quality players around him, there is no limit to what he can achieve. He's going to be so good if he carries on this look rate.
Not at international level, though.
Well, no, maybe not.
It's all looking a bit rosy in North London, isn't it? Obviously, Spurs won as well. So
I don't trust it.
Something's afoot.
Before Liverpool versus Swansea. Let's go to the Championship. Burnley 1, Blackburn 1. The big local derby.
Enjoyable game.
A great goal from Stanislas.
That was a beauty.
For Burnley. What a strike that was. That was a real hammer blow, wasn't it? Right in the corner.
The camera could hardly keep up with it, how hard he struck it.
Fizzled in the corner.
Really did. It's a good game. It was very, very high tempo. Absolute comedy equaliser as well.
It's such an enormous derby, that. It's one of those ones that people might not realise. I mean, I remember before Portsmouth were in the Premier League, I didn't realise how big that derby was, Portsmouth-Sunderland, you know. So, yeah, Burnley, Blackburn.
Portsmouth-Sunderland.
dwelling on the previous match.
Yeah. I think that take into account that I don't think Burnley have beaten Blackburn since the mid-70s.
Yeah.
And then the way they could see that equaliser, that's just sick enough.
I mean, fortuitous.
Yeah.
It was a word that you definitely...
I thought that he had chipped over the keeper.
Nah.
I thought that was some finish, but it actually came off Rose, didn't it?
Yeah. Burnley a fifth, though, on 11 points. And there were Leeds and just behind Forrest and Leicester.
But you could tell Jordan Rhodes is a striker when he scores a goal like that. That's how you know you're a natural striker, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. And QPR and Blackpool both still top on 16 points. Paul Ince, during the Blackpool game, accidentally, hit a woman in the crowd with a bottle of water.
It wasn't anything.
Absolutely, the spectacular story that the mind conjured up when seeing the headline was Ince apologises to supporter he accidentally struck with a bottle. Well, he threw the bottle on the floor and it kind of sort of bounced up and hit a woman
on the foot.
And he went over and went, "Oh, sorry about that." And she went, "No, don't worry about it."
Yeah, that's it.
It's not as interesting as Ince bottles woman.
Paul Ince today stuffed a woman into a bottle.
Yeah, just 150 miles from a nightclub. A popular night spot and 4 pints short of being pissed.
Paul Ince produces his notepad from pocket. It says, "Hit woman with."
It says, "Shoot her."
Oh, there we go. He was sent to the stands though for his outrage. So, dear, Paul, just calm down.
Mm.
Blackpool, Paul Ince.
Paolo Di Canio offered the ref the chance to send him off. In the Arsenal
He did a classic English isn't my first language joke, which massively backfired. And I'm not having a go at him for that because obviously I don't speak any other languages.
Enough.
But I think he said to the referee something like, "Oh, well, the moment you've been doing a perfect job, then you can send me off for not doing my job." And the guy was, "All right, go get in the stand then." All right.
Oh, what?
Yes. Yeah.
English humour joking. No, yeah.
English humour joking.
Get up there. Get up there. Let's leave England and go north of Adrian's Wall to the Scottish Premiership. Terry Butcher was named Manager of the Month.
Still up there.
Inverness Caledonian Thistle are sitting top of the league. 3 points above Celtic. Celtic do have a game in hand, but boys...
How many horses in this race this season, Michael?
I don't know, but there's a few. And Caledonian, Inverness, Cali... I mean, Jim, you weren't having this. Nobody was having this. But the league table doesn't lie.
Celtic's game in hand against St Mirren, I think, and their second bottom.
Always tricky.
I want to be on record as saying I'm still not having it.
Who's got the best defence in the league? Cali Thistle.
There you go.
Inverness Cali Thistle.
It doesn't lie, Jim.
It's
September.
Stats. Yeah, I know. That's the point I'm making. We're out of August and this is happening.
Marcus, what about your Jambos?
They didn't do very well. They're still on -8.
Still on though, isn't it? But they could still win the league from a couple of years ago.
I still have a chip called Jambo.
Don't be ridiculous.
At this stage of the season, September, Hearts are a mere 24 points off the top. Come on, you Gorgies.
It's admin. It's the admin that's done it. But interesting news, if we drop down to the Scottish Championship, to second place Dundee, they've taken a big step in their bid for promotion by signing Craig Beaton. Manager John Brown said, a fit Craig Beatty will cause havoc for our opponents all season.
A fit Craig Beatty hasn't been since his Swansea. That was 2009.
Since school, probably.
I should have said, a fit Craig Beatty, in theory, will cause havoc.
Has the necessary limbs to be a footballer.
And after that, he whipped his top off and did the Beatty all the way around the studio. I assume he said in the studio, probably not. Let's go to La Liga. Villarreal 2, Real Madrid 2. Gareth Bale's scored on his debut.
With his right peg as well.
Mm. Yeah, I know. And Cristiano Ronaldo got the other goal for Real Madrid after Bale was subbed off. That proves that Ronaldo hates him because he didn't want to score when he was on the same pitch as him.
Yeah, wanted to show him his boss but not give him the right of reply.
I mean, how much do they hate each other?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, there was that clip on the internet where they were doing training and I think Ronaldo slid in on him unnecessarily because they were just doing like they were just doing it in a circle and were kicking the ball and he was piggy in the middle and he did like a slide tackle. But Bale, it said he did a trick. I don't think he did. I think it just came off Ronaldo's foot. Oh, more YouTube news as I get it.
Yeah. 8 minutes past seven.
I did like the way the rushed version of the Gareth Bale celebration he did. He just went, forgot about doing
little
that.
That's
contractual.
Heart.
Get out of the way.
And these little hearts are available from Rawlinson. What about Gio Dos Santos?
What about Gio Dos Santos? You've got the equaliser for the Yellow Submarine.
Spurs Hall of Famer, Gio Dos Santos.
Diego Lopez proving once again why he's Real Madrid's number one. Great performance. Yeah. Villarreal, probably a little bit unlucky that they didn't win the game. They're having a great season so far.
Yeah, they started very brightly. They will rue those missed opportunities, though.
Indeed they will. Karim Benzema's sporting a new do.
Never start a haircut halfway across your head.
Yeah, it's sort of did remind me slightly of Ronaldo in... was it 2002? He had that.
It reminded me of Gary Oldman in The Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
Not
too good. Barcelona beat Sevilla 3-2. A wonderful end to the game. Barca were 2-0 up, but Sevilla scored in the 80th and then the 90th minute to level it up at the Camp Nou after Koke, I think that's how you say it, certainly not Coke, equaliser. And then Messi went on a dribble and Alexis Sanchez scored a 94th minute winner. But good to see Neymar and Messi linking up there.
Yeah.
Exciting times.
One of the interesting things about the Gareth Bale transfer and how much money it cost is that it's just massively taken the pressure off Neymar.
Good news.
He seems to enjoy his football now. And why wouldn't he be? And Atletico Madrid 1-4-2. They joint top with Barca. Madrid and Villarreal in third and fourth.
Well, Villarreal doing well, given they got promoted.
They're
just invincible, that side.
So well done, La Liga. Serie A, though. Serie A. Lots of exciting things were happening in Italy. Inter drew 1-1 Juventus. Wasn't too exciting. It was a derby of Italy. But Inter, good start of the season under new boss Walter.
Mazzarri. Good manager.
Arturo Vidal's having a great season so far.
He's such a good player.
Popping up with goals. He's a great player. You know, traditionally, you know, not a huge goal scorer, but he's popping up.
Hopefully we'll see him in the World Cup with... he's Chilean, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
That would be nice to see. But Napoli, 3 wins out of 3. Benitez men top. Higuain and Callejon, we're getting the goals once again.
On the subject of dreadful haircuts, Callejon get on the score.
You're not a fan of his.
He's too high.
What about Udinese 1, Bologna 1? 35-year-old Antonio Di Natale, on his 300th league appearance for Udinese, scored his 159th league goal for the club.
That's a milestone, isn't it?
We love that man, don't we? He's great.
I hope he goes to the World Cup.
Hope he never retires.
Bridge two. Wouldn't it be great if he could retire at the World Cup?
I think he has actually retired from World Cup. I think he retired after Euro.
Yeah, I think so too.
But you never know, do you?
You know, Totti.
he'll pipe up
basically
again, won't he?
Basically made a mockery of that, didn't he?
That's when you know spring started, because Totti starts linking himself back with the national team.
Now, I hope this year Totti starts linking Di Natale with a return
and Del Piero.
Yeah. A whole new strike.
Baggio.
37-year-old Francesco Totti has been offered a 3-year extension. To keep his
isn't he already on like a 10-year deal anyway?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, till the club is at least 40, and then probably...
Stock options.
Can we talk about the Genovese derby, Sampdoria Genoa?
Of course we can.
I'll tell you something, this is some story.
Well, Sampdoria lost 3-0 at home to Genoa.
Which is a poor result.
Which is a very poor result. Yeah. Quite surprising. Genoa haven't had the best of starts. But 2 days before the match, Sampdoria were at their training ground, of course, which is situated in this sort of little valley. There's some hills around it and a bit of forest. And up on one of those hills, amongst the trees from Genoa, they found Luca Di Pra, the goalkeeping coach of Genoa, dressed in full army camouflage.
He was properly dressed up as well.
Spying on their
face
training.
Face paint, system. Everything.
Machine gun.
They went to town on that in the Italian press, as they should. As they should.
Can you imagine?
I did like
in this country if that happened.
In the superb, isn't it? In the article, they kept referring to Dupra as Rambo and the soldier, and they said that the soldier was free to return to his base and all this kind of stuff. And the article finished by saying, "You should always forgive your enemies; nothing annoys them more."
Oh, very nice.
But it was hilarious, wasn't it? That little picture of him, like really kind of caught red-handed.
Yeah.
It's superb. It's everything.
It's superb.
How did he think he was going to get away with it?
Well, presumably.
He's in full camouflage.
And it's in a forest. It's not like
it was
just
in a forest, yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know, it's not like he just
he was
sort
like
of hanging around a tree.
He was on like a bank, right. A load of trees overlooking the training ground, basically. Yeah.
He's a camper, bless him.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. But
well, imagine that. He's a little, what are you doing here? Nothing. Where do you work?
Not dogging, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Where do you work? I'm unemployed. But they won 3-0.
Yeah.
Blimey, O'Reilly. Torino drew 2-2 with Milan. The Rossonera 2-0 down. Montari put one back in 87 and Balotelli scored a penalty deep into injury time. But Kaká played.
Yeah, he's injured again now, isn't he?
Yeah. He said he doesn't want any wages during his recovery time. Probably because he's made enough money already.
I think I'm right to say that was Balotelli's 26th success. Successful penalty of 26 taken.
Was it that Jesus. Much, was it?
I think, and not just for me, though, across his career.
Right,
he's never missed one professionally yet.
Incredible, isn't it? Mm. He always sticks it to the keeper's right, though. Remember that, goalkeepers, next time you're facing a penalty from Balotelli.
We should provide a bespoke service for people who want information about where people put their penalties.
Yeah, indeed.
We've been very successful in the Lampard thing.
Yeah.
We could branch out to Balotelli now.
Yeah, big time. Before we go to international Europe, a little update from Iceland. Top flight side at IBV... their goalkeeper, David James, played his 1,000th senior football match. The 43-year-old Englishman, still playing in Europe's top flight.
One of Europe's top flights.
That is great, though, isn't it?
I think Herman Harrods is the manager.
He is the manager, yeah. Well done, David.
That's lovely.
I hope he's enjoying his time up there.
Before we go to Pete's game, let's talk a bit about international football. England with a solid point away to Ukraine. People very critical of England's performance last week.
It was a very good point, really.
Because it was shit.
I mean, two home games left against Montenegro and Poland. England really need to win both. Luke, you were very critical of that England performance. I know why.
Because it was shit.
What do we think? I mean, I'm a little bit worried for Hodgson. I was obviously beating his drum before he got the job, and then when he got the job, and slightly after he got the job.
I think he was the standout candidate for it, and he's obviously a nice man. The problem he is he's become a victim of circumstance in a way, because I can see it from his point of view. He sees that England go to Italy in 97, get a 0-0, famous 0-0, blah blah blah.
Well,
and raving about
but...
it, but it's still the same result in the same difficult circumstances, I suppose. England go to Ukraine and get a 0-0. It's a difficult place to go. We didn't beat them in the other game when we were at home.
Mm.
And then everyone's raving about it. The reason that everyone's against it and he's surprised is because the country's moved on since then.
Mm.
We're not as deluded as we were then.
Well, no, but the point away to Italy are a better side than Ukraine, or always have been. And England just needed a point, and that was to qualify.
But you'd suggest that the managers back in the day would have a little bit more, a better calibre of football to choose from. Nobody wants to play for England at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
They're injured all the time. Oh, I've hurt my leg now, I'm okay.
I thought which was a little bit disappointing was under Hodgson, England in some of the qualifiers have passed the ball a little bit more and not just lumped it. And then to see a little bit more long ball. And he says, well, you know, bypass the midfield. Well, there's Gerard Lampard and Wilshere. I mean,
they can kick a football very well.
Exactly.
We've all seen them do it many times. It does seem an unnecessarily conservative use of three very, very talented players. But so much experience with Gerard and Lampard there.
Yeah, I think also, though, that... I mean, you know, fair enough. I think I'd have probably taken a point before the game, so it's not a bad result.
If Lampard flashes that header in, you know what I mean? That was quite a good chance for him.
The point's fine. I was not very critical of the point.
So you want to keep the point?
Yeah, I'll take the point. Yeah, I'll take the point.
But I think what I was going to say about Hodgson is...
The banker says, fuck off.
But if Hodgson said, all right, fair enough, we were a little bit basic with our tactics, but we came here to get a point and we've got it, and we're going to hopefully turn on the style a little bit in the two home games. You could understand that, but Hodgson was... I thought we were played very well. And so you either think, well, he's
what
either deluded, he's either trying to just lie to protect his players or something, or protect himself. But what is he trying to do then?
Yeah, or he's aiming very low.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem, I think, for me, is that this is underpinned by an unshakable thought of England, if they do qualify, being embarrassed again next summer.
Mm.
Now, what will happen next summer if we do indeed qualify is that we'll either be given a really tough group and we don't qualify out of it, or we'll come second in the group because we'll be seeded against a quite good team, and we'll get beaten in the second round. Mm-hmm. And the whole process will continue.
Mm.
It's not Roy Hodgson's fault, as Pete's touched on. We haven't got hardly any good players. Well, now, I know
there is a dearth of coaches as well.
Definitely. But Lampard, Gerrard and Wilshere are good, but something untangible... sort of intangible happens to England players under pressure when they put an England shot. I don't know why it is. It's difficult to know.
It's the pressure, as we talked
about. But why are they under pressure in Ukraine?
But they're big players that are used to winning and used to being celebrated at their clubs, and they're suddenly in this position where they're constantly under the cosh. No one has much faith in them and everyone's very cynical about them. So it must affect your mindset.
Well, I think...
Just pretend they're Sweden.
Yeah, that's...
Sim shirts. It's fine.
Yeah, indeed. I think...
Those midfield players, Lampard, Gerrard and Wilshere... Well, certainly Lampard and Gerrard have played in like the latter stage of the... Gerrard and Lampard both won the Champions League.
Somebody tweeted, I'm starting to think that Gerrard and Lampard can't play together. Really enjoyed
what
it.
You
I
can't blame Hodgson for is when Lampard plays a poor pass, when he makes that pass every week for Chelsea, or when Walcott runs forward and... Maybe he's not the best example, but you see him playing against, say, the likes of Fulham or whoever, when he looks quite dynamic and there's a few nice touches and balls through, or when Wilshere's miscontrolling it and he doesn't do that for
but
Arsenal.
But why does that happen for England?
I think I may have said this very recently on the show, so forgive me if I am repeating myself, but Gianluca Vialli said a little while ago that he... noticed that when he came to England that English players were far more relaxed at club level than Italian players, and he noticed that it goes for Spain as well, because Italian players, English players since the Premier League and all the money and all the rest of it and all the razzmatazz have been very much behind the velvet rope, and so they are protected from what the fans think, what the media are saying about them, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So they live in this lovely little Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal, whoever bubble. So they're protected from all that kind of stuff, and so they're very relaxed and they can get on with it and they're loved at their clubs and life's good. When they come to England, they step outside that bubble and they don't have it anymore. So suddenly there's like, whoa, people aren't don't love me anymore. They don't. What's happened here? There's a hell of a lot more pressure. Whereas the Italians, as Vialli used the example, at club level, they have a bit more pressure. So when they go to Italy, they're kind of used to it a bit more.
Right.
And he suggested that could be one of the reasons why England players just shit themselves so much when they get to the international stage. They're like, oh, bloody hell, the spotlight's on us. We don't know how to act. And there's a poor pass. Because often we've said English players aren't as technically...
Do you also think it's because a lot of the players... like, England fielded three players with 100 caps.
Oh, yeah.
Do you not think it's a lot of the players know they won't get dropped?
Well, I think there's that as well. And that's why someone like Ricky Lambert's probably a breath of fresh air in there. And some of the other players have gone, oh, yeah, it's been great to have him around. Because he's like, bloody hell, I'm playing for England. This is great. And
but
I want to make the most
thing, like Frank Lampard did week in, week out, passes to Juan Mata.
Yeah.
Well, and when he plays for England, he plays for players, you know, passes the ball to players who are not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're still players playing at a very high level.
Yeah, but I think if you put Wilshere and Gerrard in that Chelsea side, I know what you mean. But it is strange.
Like,
how...
We spent the last, you know, half an hour slagging off Ashley Young. He was in the England setup not so long ago.
Ashley Young is nowhere near the top level of
But three, you know, three more injuries. Right. He's in England squad. That's all I'm saying.
Didn't he start for England last summer? He's number 10
really,
last
really
year.
Disappointing.
Very disappointing. Yeah. But he is a good player, actually. He is a good player. But, I mean, yeah.
I'm just saying that the calibre of player that we can call up as, you know, as a stopgap is far, is eclipsed by any other international team in Europe, I think, in the top 15, 20 rankings.
I think the players do care. And I think, obviously, they want to go to tournaments and whatnot. But is there a sense of, yeah, we're used to this defeat, or we used to getting hammered? Or
I think so.
Well, Jamie Carragher said, didn't he? If I played badly for England, I would always think at least it's not for Liverpool.
True. I think Carragher being such a one-club man might be a little bit of an exception.
I think the only difference between the club and country is the England band. Stamp their drums.
It is one of the main differences.
Or make them play the Jurassic Park thing.
That'd be so good.
Come on, England. We've said it many times. It works.
Everyone would immediately be on their side.
Yeah. I just wonder what the mood is like in the camp under Capello. The players clearly weren't happy with
They're probably thinking, if I have to play to the sound of that fucking band anymore.
But Marcus, they've had every single type of manager, they've always been underwhelmed.
Well, what I was going to say.
No, Sven.
Under old Svenigans.
Oh, God.
We still won nothing.
No, bollocks,
I'm
dear, right?
This you, is Mike down. I've never done it before, but Mike down. Have you stopped?
Right, I'm going over here. This is a genuine point, right? And I'll tell you something. Put my mic back on, otherwise I'm bloody kicking off. Is under Sven, there was a very, very good mood in the camp. They all really, really liked.
They could do whatever they wanted.
No, but there was
they had jacuzzi.
There was
a training.
There was a confidence there. But the system wasn't. He kept playing Gerard Lampard in the centre. So under Sven, you know, you can argue international teams moved on, but there was a very, very good mood in the camp, and people, they loved playing for England under him. He just didn't get the system right.
Yeah, but 4-4-2. Even with a good mood, England underperformed. We need more than a good mood.
Yeah, Gascoigne was on the fringes still.
Well, anyway, yeah, we could argue with this for the rest of the evening. But we have to talk about elsewhere in World Cup qualification. Italy and the Netherlands, Costa Rica and the US of A are through. But Cape Verde will not be going to Brazil.
Bullshit. Such a shame. Such a
motherfucking bullshit.
This is genuinely agonising.
Backstairs intrigue.
Yeah. I mean, they fielded an ineligible player against Tunisia in their 2-0 win and thus are out. Fernando Varela was sent off for Cape Verde in a match against Equatorial Guinea. Now, in that match, Equatorial Guinea had fielded an ineligible player themselves. Thus, Cape Verde were awarded a 3-0 win. Cape Verde, therefore, thought that Varela's sending off had been wiped. But in the rules, that is not the case. So the red card stands and thus Varela should not have been playing against Tunisia. And Tunisia will now replace Cape Verde in their playoff match.
This is FIFA's latest move in their war against joy.
Yes. To be fair, it's in the rules.
Marcus, call it as it is. It's a conspiracy that goes to the very top of the game.
So
we're the only ones gutsy enough to mention it.
I'd like to start a movement, actually, and I'm sure you guys will back me up on this. I would happily sacrifice England's place in next year's World Cup for Cape Verde to play.
I think England might do that themselves.
I don't think either of them are going to be there.
England might unhappily do that themselves.
Would you like a friendly at Wembley, though? England versus Cape Verde.
You can imagine what the England
on the day of the World Cup final. Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, this is the real quiz. I can imagine what England players are thinking now. All we've got to do is put a field in an eligible player. We haven't got to go for all this bollocks. Go back to the Premier League.
Exactly.
I'd like Keir Burley versus Cape Verde.
Yeah.
Would you like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good match. As long as she gets hurt.
Dear, oh dear.
Oh dear.
She definitely found the right wing.
Cape Verde are considering an appeal, but there's been no news on that so far. But the African...
They consider an appeal, but they use an ineligible piece of paper for the appeal.
Admin error.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't read it.
Oh. I mean, it's eminently appealable, that, surely. I mean,
it's in the rules. It's in the rules.
They're not going to win, are they?
I'm sorry.
They played a football match and
bad admin.
Played.
You know what football's like, mate.
A result was put on the board. How is that a fair rule?
If the appeal
is on the board.
Pete, if the appeal was deemed frivolous as well, they'll be banned for the following World Cup as well. Not careful.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, the African playoffs. The lineup has been announced. Ivory Coast to play Senegal, Ethiopia, Nigeria, Tunisia versus Cameroon, Ghana versus Egypt, Burkina Faso versus Algeria.
Cissé versus Tiote.
Yeah. Oh, dear, oh, dear. It would be great to see Ethiopia go through, I think.
Yeah, and Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
So not been there before.
Against Algeria and against Nigeria. Mm. Well, we shall see. We shall see. But yeah, a sour note.
Leaves a taste in the mouth, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Well, we're going to have to get that taste, that glorious taste back through Pete's game.
Yeah, hello. How are you doing? Please
good,
welcome
Pete.
To the show. Would I lie to Ewell?
Jason Ewell.
Jason Ewell. Nice. Right.
Stop. Is it Jason Ewell?
It's not Jason Ewell, no. These clues come from Eddie O'Grady. Thank you for that. You are a lovely man. I was born in Manchester in 1961.
Mm. Stop. Bez.
Stop. Nothing.
I was discovered by Manchester City whilst training to be an electrician.
Stop.
I could be
Stop.
Any old footballer.
David Batty.
What, 52? David Batty's not 52, is he?
No.
Oh, no, he had a little look in his eye. What's wrong I just with know you? David Batty used to do a bit of.
Sir Stuart Pearce. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Probably Pierce. Even more. Pearce would be a good couple of years older than Batty, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll go for that one then.
Not him. I won the then named Division 2 with Chelsea and also won promotion from that same division with Manchester City, who were relegated the next year. I played 98 games for Man City, scoring 9 goals, and 81 games for Chelsea, scoring 5 goals. In a fans poll, I was voted QPR's greatest ever left-back, beating, among others, Kenny Santhon.
Stop. It's David Bardsley.
No. I played 172 games, scoring 12 goals, all but one a penalty.
Right, penalty-taking fullback who's played for Chelsea,
and City
and QPR.
Mm. I scored with my first ever touch at Anfield, and it wasn't a penalty.
Goodness.
I left QPR on a free transfer to join my former manager, Jerry Francis, in 1995.
Oh, my goodness. I've no doubt everybody's got this.
Stop. Just in Edinburgh.
No.
Just in people it's been before.
I completed a rock-solid defensive partnership at Spurs with, just in Edinburgh, Stuart Nethercott and Gary Mabut.
Bloody hell, we should know this, man. Yeah.
This is really bad.
I ended my career playing for Cambridge United.
None of that helped me.
My younger brother, Gus, also played professional football for Crewe Alexandra.
This is terrible.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
I was christened Euclid, or Euclid, what's the scientist?
Just get it, would
it's
you?
Euclid, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was christened Euclid after the scientist, though this is not the name I use.
Just give us the answer.
Yeah, what's his name?
I've given you one of his names.
I know, this is really ridiculously awful.
My full name is Euclid Aklana Wilson. My friends call me Clive Wilson.
Clive Wilson.
Well done, should've Eddie O'Grady.
Eddie O'Grady, you win.
You win nothing well but the adulation.
You can now be officially deemed a friend of the Ramble.
Yeah.
Sorry, let's have some correspondence.
Okay, evening Ramblers. Following the cat and dog pun football teams from last week and last season, I was reminded about a day spent pub crawling with a couple of friends where we dedicated all of our time and energy to creating sweet shop footballer puns. I hope you enjoy them as much as we enjoyed thinking them up. Most of the afternoon was spent in absolute competitive silence whilst we tried to out-pun one another.
Yeah, it's not social punnery, is it?
No. So here we go. Snickolas and Elka.
Oh, yeah.
Mauam Fellaini.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lee Twixon. Denver Starbar, very good. Oreo Ferdinand, Trio Walcott,
oh, yeah.
Mark Overmars Bar,
yeah.
Rolo Touré,
oh good one.
Yeah. Polo Zenden,
oh yeah.
Milky Wayne Rooney, Gianfranco Cola Bottles, tenuous. Noel Wagon Whelan, Dean Holdsworth's original,
yeah.
John Arna Reese's Pieces,
yeah.
Oh. Mario Bala Jelly Babies, John Terry's Chocolate Orange, Kit Kat Jennings. Dwight Yorkie,
yeah.
Alfredo De Stefano,
Alfredo, yes.
Diego Marathona,
yeah.
Robin Van Persie Pigs, the manager being Dave Bassett's Licorice and the stadium that Whisper Gold Trafford. That's from Tom Walters.
Lee Twixon.
Thank you, Tom.
Particularly enjoyed Wagon Wheeling. Very strong.
Good.
I've got some correspondence.
Do you?
As is the custom. Now, the question of the week this week to the Twitter and Facebook followers was... Dani Alves reportedly offered Eric Abidal his liver when Abidal was ill.
Oh.
Who is your favourite player, and what would you offer him, and why? I should say this question was actually inspired by Ross Brownell on Twitter, who said, "Lovely that Alves offered his liver to Abidal. Does, however, mean that not even the man's organs want to stay in position."
Very
That's
good.
Excellent.
Yeah. So yeah, to kick us off, Emil Heskey, I'd offer him my heart and soul. That's from Tom Bainion.
Yeah, nice
bit
one.
Of a forum legend.
Odd choice.
Ed Baker says, I'd offer Ian Dowie a new face. Jonathan, Johnny Gabriel says, I would offer Nobby Solano my girlfriend in exchange for a kick around and for him to serenade me on his trumpet. Notice you say serenade you and not your girlfriend, perfectly reasonable.
It's his deal.
At Thrill House says, I'd give Joe Cole my hamstrings and my heart. He needs both.
Uh-huh.
The heartless, hamstringless bastard.
Dear.
Gary Graham Booth says, my favourite professional player is Frank Lampard, and I would offer him the key to my heart.
Not hard.
Grant Moyer says, I would give John Terry my cock because it could do with some seeing some action.
That's a horrifying
That's
thought. It really is.
Good God.
Imagine if you experienced everything John Terry put his cock in.
Yeah, and you actually agree. Why would you offer that? I mean, you can say whatever you want. Why would you choose that?
Silly.
Richard Cracknell would like to offer Dennis Bergkamp his fearlessness of flight.
Uh-huh. Last one.
Although he wouldn't use it as much now, Burke. He doesn't need to, does he?
It's still nice, back though, in the day, it? Come on.
Yeah, but he probably would be thinking, oh, I wish I had this when I was younger, you know. Richie Moore on the Twitter says, I'd give Stuart Downing my testicles for obvious reason. Chris Kingston would like to offer Theo Walcott a cow's arse and a banjo.
Nice. It's
quite abstract.
Danny Fitz on the
I mean, in reality.
Yeah. Danny Fitz on Facebook says, my new favourite player is Mesut Ozil, and I'd offer him a pair of prescription swimming goggles which would fit him like normal glasses. And we'll finish off with Martin Thomas, who says, Steve Morrison can have whatever he wants as long as he never comes back to Leeds.
Ooh, harsh.
And that's that.
I'd offer Brian Penis just a mensch. That's all I wanted.
And you've given him that.
Yeah.
You're the only one out of anyone that's actually, you know, gone through on your promise.
Yeah, that's true.
Stephen Ireland, my nan's organs, and also her body, and my nan, basically.
Yeah. He doesn't need them. That's the last thing he needs. He's got, he doesn't need another one.
He's got loads of alive nans.
Yeah. He needs some dead ones.
If Stephen Ireland's nans are known for anything, it's that they're very specifically alive.
Pete, have you got an email?
I've got an email. Sorry, guys. This comes from Tom McDonnell. Hello, Tom McDonnell. He says, excuse me, dear Ramble Men, as a dedicated missionary for the Ramble, definite converts one, possible three. I tried to work on my podcast Lazy Brother to get a bit of Ramble in his life, particularly as a penniless aspiring musician in his band Night Engine. He could do with the cost-effective diversion.
They'd like police machine support.
It does sound like a strangler, doesn't it? The Night Engine. At a recent family event, I played him the story of the match fixing in Nigeria, which amused him police machine. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, my marvellous wife Helen gave birth to our first child, Martha. Both are doing well, and Martha is wonderful, although poor girl, she is cursed to be a QPR fan. Anyway, in the post a couple of days later, arrived a package from my brother. You can see what was inside below, and he attaches a picture of a baby, which I presume is Tom McDonald's, in a little kind of a onesie, saying police machine on the front of it.
Amazing. So, Tom McDonald is a friend of mine from reality, and he's never stolen children before, to my knowledge.
Right,
so congratulations, Tom.
Okay.
And well done.
I think my work and yours here is done, he says. Kindest regards, Tom McDonnell. I mean, we're not a force for good, are we, really?
No.
It's like Batman just surveying Gotham City and everything's on fire. God, did that, didn't I?
I actually like the idea of Police Machine knowing that match fixing the game is the tune of about 79-0. It's the best thing they could have done for fan numbers. And now they're the most supported team in Africa.
Superb. Right, that's it for this week, isn't it? Luke's got a point.
I promised the forum members at footballramble.com/forum that they do a very good job in keeping the Dean Windass Hall of Fame alive. They've got a thing on there called the Emil Heskey Hall of Fame where they profile players reasonably often, I think maybe on a weekly basis.
Mm,
so get over to the footballramble.com/forum if you're missing the profile, because we're not.
they are excellent on the forum and I read it a lot.
Well done, team.
I read it a lot.
Well, that's it. If you want to get in touch, then the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, of course. The website where all that stuff goes on is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, before we go, I've just got to mention that obviously we do use Absolute Radio Studios. They have got another Rock and Roll Football Live Barclays Premier League commentary match this weekend. West Ham versus Everton from 3 o'clock. Jim Proudfoot and head of the PFA, is he? Clark Carlisle is in the commentary.
Yeah, he is.
Nice chap. So make sure you're listening for the three on Absolute Radio or absoluteradio.co.uk.
Absolutely.
But only listen to that after you've heard the ramble, eh?
Damn right.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Luke.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Marcus.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.